it's neat to be able to give you maybe one more little piece to the puzzle. When you are near Jerusalem at the Church for All Nations, which is right next to the Garden of Gethsemane, there's a huge ravine. And at one time, there was a bridge that went right up to the edge of the East Gate. So, and right beneath that area, they formed a cemetery. So that's also tactfully prepared by those who don't believe in Christ. They say they don't believe in Christ, but look at their activity. And so now it's become sacred ground so that no one can go digging over there. See, because it's got a cemetery there. So there's a lot of reasonings why the non-believers would choose to kind of camouflage the land so that nobody can touch it, because it's sacred land now. And so my overwhelming reality to be in that garden was such an impact. And saying that you saw one door open. See, a lot of people are waiting for Jesus to come back through the gate. And I believe he will. But I think his people are actually manifesting his presence right now. I saw on, I believe it was yesterday, the multitudes of believers that were celebrating tabernacles in spite of the war in downtown Jerusalem. Yes? You didn't see it. But it was awesome. And they had huge banners, and they were just celebrating and dancing before God. And it was moving for me, just because, you know, they weren't concerned that the war had just finished with Lebanon, but they were concerned about obedience to God, to take that time and to fly from different parts of the world and to go and celebrate and literally be there. And that is exciting. There was also an article, a very short article from Gwen Shaw this morning. And I did get a little bit of that. And it's also about the victory of tabernacles. When you literally look at tabernacles and what it really means, it is a forecast of the return of the Lord. But it starts in his people. It's got to be in us first. And a lot of people are still waiting for the Lord to show up. And I remember a prophet of the Lord many years ago said to me, if they've never seen the Lord manifest and their eyes are not open, they won't see him either. In other words, there's a need for the spiritual eyes to be opened by the body, in the body, for the Lord. So there's a need for your eyes and your ears to hear and to see in that realm so that you can see him. And you know, every eye will see him. Well, which eyes? It's both spiritual eyes and your natural eyes. So, you know, don't limit God. He is definitely going to bring back his son. But it starts within us. When Peter would walk down in the fullness of Christ, when the fullness of the Holy Ghost was in him, people were healed just from the shadow. Is that here yet? Has anybody got healed while they were walking and their shadow was just overshadowing somebody that was sick? Where are we there yet? Are we on the way there? Okay, we're on the way. We're not there yet, but we are on the way. And it says in the scriptures that we are a church built on apostles, prophets. Well, where are the apostles? with the manifestations of the book of Acts. Have we got it yet? We got a lot of people. But do we have the actual results of what you see alive in the book of Acts? A little bit is starting to form. And we're looking for more. And we want more. But I think that's just a hint to me. The door being open means there's some activity starting to be recognized.
Gideon, check up in spirit. The door is not fully open.
Not fully open.
Not fully open.
Partially.
Right. As though it is opening, but it's not fully open.
Okay, so I will put partial open. Okay, so it's a starting point. That's excellent. That, to me, is a good word from the Lord, letting us know a little bit of how quickly he could be fully manifesting. Not only in his people, I believe he will do both. Okay, he's not going to leave anybody or any piece undone. Anyone else? Yes. Okay, so this is body ministry. All right. Is your oil hot? Well, is the fire inside? See, that's what she's talking about. Each one of you has something to give. Each one of you, when you give out, will produce awesome fruit inside of the house. That's what the corporate anointing is all about. The living water flowing out of every heart. Not out of some, out of every heart. And that confirms it. Thank you. Anything else? That's a good word. Come on. Is it a good word?
Yeah.
All right. Judy?
Now, this is in the word of the Lord. And I have to be careful how I say it, but I experienced a situation where there was two of us that went to visit somebody in the hospital, and I didn't know why, because I had oil with me, and it was like, you're not to anoint them, you're not to pray with them. And I go, this seems kind of strange. Okay, so this person very sick. And after we were there, I was to see it isn't the person, it's the Spirit of God that is within you. And the presence comes into that room, and he's very able to manifest anything. He just needs someone to get me or whatever. So, anyways, within like 20 minutes, this person had not been literally able to move their leg. One iota, a near bad leg. And all of a sudden, they started looking at life. They said, this is the first time to come away. You know, they just couldn't move at all. Yeah, they couldn't help them. They couldn't move at all. They couldn't do anything. And I just smiled. I didn't say nothing. But when we were leaving, I said, you know what? I said, it's our presence. It's the shadow, you know. And the Lord worked in this life. It wasn't, we have nothing to do with it. But it just gave me, because I just like to, you know, and just a thought that was like, is this going to happen?
Yes.
And it probably does happen to a degree of
I was just going to say,
focus on it, you know?
Right. What happens is we don't realize the fullness of the impact that we are. And when I say that, I'm talking about everyone here. You don't realize the light that's flowing from you. You don't realize the impact that it does on the darkness that's around you. And that was one of my comments to Diane this morning. She says going to the nursing home is quite difficult. Her dad is unable to walk at all now, and she just lost her mother a few months ago. This man is in what you could call a very difficult space. And at first all he did was weep. But she says, you know, I'm still being drawn to go back. And she spends an average of 5 to 7 hours there every day. And I said, and that was my word to her. Well, you're the light bulb. You know, you're the one that brings light in, and you're going to have an impact. And so she gave a little testimony, and I won't go into that, but it was a confirming word. And you don't know the fullness of what you are yet. You just have a beginning. So be patient with it. Anyone else? Yes? Well, as you know, yes, your dad needs extra prayer. Agreed. How many are going to lift up that whole family? Good news. Okay. Anyone else? Yes.
That I know that I'm hearing this, and I've been hearing that the gifts that we already have, okay, that we're not utilizing to our full potential, it doesn't mean the anointing's not there. It means the anointing for the gift is there, but God just hasn't made it clear to you yet. And there's a reason I think that he's doing this in a timely fashion, is because pride is a very sneaky spirit. If he just, boom, gave us the gift, we would be so prideful in a month that if we couldn't walk in liberty, how are you going to walk in everybody that walks in my shadow is here? How are you going to walk in that? Try walking in that. That's not going to be easy. That's going to take some good ability. That's not something you're going to be shedding pride 24/7. Just try and walk in that.
Why was the demon sent to St. Paul? To keep him. Constant reminder. Because St. Paul kept praying for the thorn in his flesh to be removed. And it wasn't removed. And it was because of the intensity of the revelation that he had received. And God was now saying, but you need this in order to keep you humble. Okay? In other words, there are things about your life that may be difficult in your life for you to continue to resist. You may have weaknesses. How many have a few weaknesses that they're still? Thank you. Okay. Some people put up both hands. Okay. Okay. Some have feet here too. All right. I don't know if we need to count the hands and the feet, but I think the message is truth. Every single person has weaknesses, and they are intended of God for His glory. They're not intended to bury you alive. You've got to be very careful as to how you respond to those weaknesses, because many, many times, I remember one time arguing with the Lord. Arguing with the Lord and saying, look, I've been praying about this, I want it cleaned out, I've been asking you, and I'm casting this thing to beneath my feet, blah, 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 and I made a lot of noise. Guess what? Didn't go away. Okay, you should enjoy this one. I looked like an old hound dog, and I was still making noise. And nothing was happening week after week, month after month. And I said, Lord, what is wrong with me? Of course, it's all about me. It was about me. What is wrong with me? And he said, Kim, if I delivered you, because I gave him a comparison. I did. You're not getting it, God. You're just not getting it. And I said, Lord, you know, when I was fighting cigarettes, I mean, let's face it, it took
7 or 8 months. Then you delivered me, and it was all freedom. Awesome freedom. But this other corner is so stubborn. And he said, well, now you know what St. Paul had to put up with. James 4:7. Humble yourself before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. But he's going to come back. And I howled a little more. And then I began to listen to what he was saying. He said, if I delivered every single corner as quickly as that, you would be full of pride. Full of pride. And I know how to keep you in check. So do not be deceived. I have a plan. And of course, I want a date, a day, and an hour. How can you relate to so much of this? Right? And he told me, my grace is sufficient for you. Those were words he gave to St. Paul. I didn't want to hear them. I really didn't. I thought grace was a wonderful idea, but, you know, I'm out. Then he began to show me that there were different things that he needed to work with me. And those different things he would take care of piece by piece, a little bit at a time, if I was patient with myself and loved myself in the weakness. Love myself in that weakness. Now that was tough to swallow. Hard to digest. Uncomfortable. And I asked the Lord to forgive me for trying to make him do things that he wasn't ready to do because he had a better plan. So I trusted for a season and then went back to the same old square, yelling and crying out for the same old reasons until I think I reached a particular point where I said to the Lord, would you please make it more clear? And this is what he said to me. And I really believe it was him. He said, the reason I'm letting you struggle is so that you'll have a compassionate heart for those who are struggling just like you. Try it on. Say, Lord Jesus, there may be weaknesses in me. And while I'm struggling, having a hard time with them, my heart will be soft and tender for my brothers or sisters that may be struggling just like me. And I'll be patient with them. With the same kind of patience you are with me. Amen. But that's the compassion of the Lord, isn't it? That's the mercy of the Most High. Letting you and me know He is on the job. He's definitely on the job. And the cleaning process is His workmanship, His fire, by the Holy Ghost, to do a work. His fire. His humility being formed in our hearts. You know, when we search the heart of the Lord for, like today, there were several things that came. And I said to the Lord, what is it that you want? And I had like 4 or 5 things, and not one of them really was pressing to say, this is it. And I couldn't figure it out. And then I had a vision. I saw myself at Roby's Sunday night service. How many remember Roby One? Sitting there, and he would start off with, well, you got a few questions.
And that's what would be the guidance. He would let the Holy Ghost use the popcorn in the audience. So I will confirm your vision about your popcorn. And we'll do our best to run to him with whatever you have. And the question that I have for you is, what has the fruit of the feast done for you? What changes have you seen in yourself? What adjustments have you perceived? So few hours, and the Lord told them that there were angels that were ministering spirits, ministering to him in the night hours, restoring him. I can tell you that the feast for me was, let's say, a challenge in multiples of corners, because again, there are just so many hours. And there were family commitments in between. There were pressure tactics that happened. People making stronger demands that, you know, maybe would have been hopefully different, but they weren't. And so we had to walk it out. And I kept saying to the Lord, you know, your strength is sufficient and I can do this. I can do this. And he kept me. Let's say it this way. He kept me. At 40, I did better than I do at 67. So, all I can say is he strengthens you. I know Rita pushed every step of the way. Perseverance was formed in some. Perseverance. Ministering angels went out, did a mighty work. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 7 and 14 says, the angels of the Father are ministering to us consistently. Are we perceiving and asking for them? That was one of the things he was pointing out to me this morning. And the activity of angelic press during this season. I didn't speak about it during the feast, but I can tell you that at Tabernacles is when Jesus Christ was born. His physical birth took place this time. And when that was first released, many years ago, I said to the Lord, you know, if this is really true, if this is really true, of course, you know, I was brought up, he's born on December 25th. And when we had the second day of the feast, I think it was, we were in a circle right in front of the altar. And I don't remember who was there, but we were in a circle. Gail, you might have been there. And all of a sudden, Rita might have been there too. One of the girls saw the manger. And she saw baby Jesus, and she saw the angels, and she saw the shepherds. And she says, all I want to do is, you know, sing about the Lord and his birth. She says, and it ain't Christmas. And I held on to it. Didn't say a word, I'm saying. Everything is going to be established in two or three witnesses. Okay? And somebody walks through the back door, walks right down the middle aisle, and says, I'm telling you now, it's Christmas. I said, okay, girl, you're right on target. And if I remember correctly, that might have been Carrie. And we never forgot it, because it was a sovereign revelation that this is the season when he was born. And I was rereading some of that this morning. And I want you to know that, you know, the angelic activity was so intense. Did you know that the book of Revelation is consistent with angelic activity, because the return of the Lord will be the same? Except it's going to mushroom. Yeah. Instead of having one specific place where he's born, he's being born again in multiples and multiples and multiples of saints. So that's an exciting reality. He's being born into the flesh of so many by his Spirit. If you follow that understanding, you'll know that there's such a time of him coming into this flesh. See the connections? Are you catching on? He's going to be in your flesh and in her flesh and in his flesh, and it's going to be magnified until the fullness of the body is overwhelming the enemy. Because that's what happened in the book of Acts. The enemy got overwhelmed. Okay? By the purity of Christ within you, your presence changes things. I made a visit to Bay State today, and my mother's niece has been in what I would call a semi-coma, probably drug-induced or whatever. Anyway, today, I went to see her at the beginning of the week, or the end of last week, Friday I think it was. There was no activity then, and I didn't connect with their daughter, but today, the Lord said to me, go now, so I knew there was a reason. And when I connected with her daughter, my other cousin was there, and one of another family member from one of the aunts, I should say. And so now she's on the phone. Karen is on the phone. That's her daughter. And she's trying to find out when we can go in, and so I walks in, and the other three people are there, and so the nurse doesn't want any company. So, she gives them all the oohs and ahs about it. So, anyway, she says, well, you can come in, but very, very short, and don't disturb her, she needs rest. Which is, we would have known that anyway, but some people don't know that. So, anyway, my cousin and the other lady went in, and I stayed with Karen, and Karen, of course, says, I was doing great. She says, because yesterday we had lots of communication. In other words, you know, we're able to communicate, not definitely with her mouth, because her mouth is full of the mechanics. And she was doing very, very well. But now there's some kind of a kidney problem, and there's just a little setback. And so she was quite discouraged, and I remember praying Pastor Jay's little prayer this morning. Give me a word on time to encourage. the building. So now I begin to give this poor girl a testimony of my out-of-the-body experience when I'm 11. And her eyes almost popped out of her head because that was news to her. And I said, because she was so concerned, so it was going to ruin her day today because now she couldn't have the freedom to, you know, see her mom up like she was yesterday, and there's been a backfall, there's been a retraction, and there's a real downhill slide. And I said, Karen, can't go there. I says, I'm telling you right now, I says, if there's so much difficulty in her body, God will just zip her out, and you'll put her in another place, and she will have no memory of all this bad stuff. So don't worry about her. What is important is you focus on you and focus on the Lord and your commission to your brothers. And she says, well, that's another thing. And so, you know, she gives me her list of worries. And so I ministered to her out in the hallway, and then, of course, the others came out because they only stayed maybe about 3 minutes, and we went in. And sure enough, there she is, eyes wide open, and she wants to, you know, try. And I said, So all I knew is to put the gloves on, and one of us on one side and me on the other, and I heard the Lord say, release the Lord's Prayer for her. So I held her arm, began to say the Lord's Prayer, and guess what? The chin is going up and down, you know, and I know she's connected. The next thing you know, she took a little trip, and I looked at Karen, and I said, I gotta go. My job is done. I love you. Spend some quality time with Mom. Be in touch. 3 to 5 minutes. 3 minutes maybe in the room with her. Maybe 5 or 7 in the hallway. What's that say? A word on time to reveal and to carry them, and go away. Your presence, activity where there had been none, the lights of God inside of you, changing the atmosphere. The angels of the Lord, in and around Bethlehem. This time, it's not an average lamb that's born. It's the Lamb of God. And he receives the shepherds, average folks, not wealthy folks, not the high society of the day. And then the weirdest part is foreign magi come. The nations know there's a Savior. But the King, Harry himself, has the Lord. He's got to get the news from somebody else. What does that say about the church? You think we'll recognize what's inside of us? Who is he that is alive in him? Is it the same Jesus that came to life in that baby?
Yes.
Yeah, by the same Holy Spirit. Did he not overshadow you at some point? Did he not prepare you in your mother's womb? Did he not ordain you to do good things? It is time. Amen? It is time for us to do good things. Yes?
Well, when you were talking about the Our Father, when you prayed the Our Father, we need to be so in tune to the Spirit at all times, and we have to be obedient, okay? Like, I've made my mistakes, but when my mother was dying, she'd been to hell and back, and she was, as far as we were concerned, she was dead. She was laid in bed, she was dead. And the Spirit prompted me to take her hand and pray to Our Father with her. And it's like, well, what? I mean, the woman is gone. But I said, okay, because I didn't, you know, so I did it in obedience. And I took her hand, I prayed to Our Father. She sat up in bed, opened her eyes, said, I've come back from the grave. I was dead, I came back from the grave, and told us everything that what she had seen, where she was going, and for us, you know, so that we would know. And so, had I not done that, we would never have had that blessing.
Next to you. Standing.